Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Where did this phrase come from? He passed away. All of us have used this phrase. It's a euphemism for death. Why don't we just say he died? Why, when we're about to say he died or how did he die, do we stop ourselves and say, well, he passed away, or how did he pass away? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about this term, passed away, as a euphemism for death. Dr. John Bombaro joins us. He's missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving as the Assistant Director of Theological Education at Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia. He's author of the column titled, Jesus Did Not Pass Away, on Preaching, Death, and Dying. Dr. Bombaro, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you again, Todd. Thank you.
Tell us about a recent funeral that you attended and what you noticed about it.
Well, it was a Lutheran parish, and the deceased was Lutheran, and the presiding pastor was Lutheran as well. But my expectations for the Lutheran liturgy of the funeral service, such that we have in our Lutheran service book and agenda, those expectations were quickly dashed when I was handed an outline for the service that seemed to me altogether foreign to the customs of the church and the gospel that accompanies the funeral mass and committal. So I was going to pay close attention to the language that was employed during the service. I'm also trained in philosophy, and so tend to be a bit persnickety about language. So the language and the logic of the gospel used, for example, in the funeral service of the Lutheran service book, we have it in LSB page 278 and following, that language is very careful. It's always employing the terms death and dead and died. For example, in the remembrance of baptism, it says, in holy baptism, such and such was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all of his or her sin. St. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Of course, this is from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. What I found at that funeral was that the terms spoken by the attendees and the clerics were passed and passed away exclusively. There was no reference to death. The use of the term seemed to affirm the displacement of death as part of the working vocabulary of the congregants. So the clerics seemed to only reinforce it by not speaking about death. So disconcertingly, they were used exclusively, and that prompted me to wonder if there had been a shift in social conceptions about death and whether that had occurred. And what I saw lost was not only a candid articulation of what all humanity faces, namely death, and faces as a consequence of sin, but a clear and direct proclamation of the only remedy and reversal of that penalty through the Redeemer, whose death, as John Owens famously said, dealt the death of death. So I did a little further research, and indeed, we have had a shift away from the biblical use, the categorical use, and the vocabulary of death in society, and particularly over the last 40 to 50 years.
How does that term passed away fundamentally depart from a scriptural picture of death?
Well, the terms don't necessarily mean the same thing beyond the failure of the body to sustain life in this realm, that is, spatiotemporally, in time and space. So they don't necessarily mean the same thing. With the change in the vocabulary, there is an associated change in meaning. And with the change in meaning, there is a change in significance. I say this frequently. You lose the vocabulary, you lose the meaning, you lose the meaning, you lose the significance. And that's what's going on here. That's what's so troublesome about the ubiquitous use of past and passed away as opposed to death, dead, and died. Death has a very clear, very biblical meaning, and therefore an important significance in Christian theology. Death, not passing away, is a major contributing factor to the shaping of the Christian worldview.
So what are the cultural and metaphysical roots of this term passed away?
Well, the roots of it go back to a book that was written in the 1400s, dated to about 1410 or so. And the book was called Lay Folks Mass Book. And this research comes from the Oxford English Dictionary, noting the earliest euphemism for death being passed or passed away. And it is present there. So passing from this world to the next, although the wider context, even in that book, intimates a movement of time and into a transitory period, like the passing away of this world and giving way to the world to come. But we also found it being used later, about two centuries later, in the King James Version. We can talk about that next if you like. I think that, especially with the dismissal of Christianity from the public square and the loss of biblical categories and terminology from the educational process, they've contributed to the displacement of death as a result of sin and the remedy of it being Christ conquering death through his own death. So there is an increased illiteracy, not only in terms of art, architecture, and iconography, which is replete throughout the church. We just aren't able to read these things anymore. But even the content of scripture and its vocabulary itself has given way and is not being fully employed within the church.
You mentioned the King James Version of the Bible. How has it contributed to this idea?
The King James Version was put together in 1611. It's very important in terms of its contribution to the English language. The terms passing and passed away are present in the King James Version. It turns out it's in there, by my calculation, 78 times. But in the vast majority of those instances, it's really referring to the spatial movement of persons or things, you know, the linear passage of time, or the assuaging of emotions, or the rendering of judgment has been passed, the one's hot anger has passed, that type of thing. But there are some times when it is used, never in the Gospels, but in the epistles, which seem to make an association with death. We find those occasions in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then in 1 John 3:14. But significantly, a physical death is not in view, but rather the spiritual reckoning of our old nature because of Christ's physical death comes a regenerating life. And so our old life has passed away, as it were, in Christ, and so now we are spiritually alive. So it's not referring to the death of the body in either instance. Notwithstanding, even with this misunderstanding and misappropriation, the association or the euphemism of passed away got latched onto physical death and entered into the Christian community.
How is this view of death, this sanitized and sentimentalized view of death, connected to political correctness?
Well, I think it has to do with this. To say that one's beloved family member or friend is dead, that death overtook them, I would say that that strikes an offensive note. It bespeaks of defeat, of one has lost in life at this point. So death comes off as something offensive. I think that is a good thing because we recognize that it has a negative import and it's meant to do so. That's why it's there in Scripture. But when we substitute that word of death and died with passing and passed away, it can mean whatever sort of endearing sentiment the individual using it would like to employ. And this is no small matter. because it drives a wedge between the facticity of death and the one in all, the only one who has the credentials to tell us what happens after death and through death, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has maintained continuity with his physicality through death by way of the resurrection to be able to come back and tell us what happens after death. No one has done that in the history of the world. So only Jesus has the authority to be able to speak about what happens at death. And death is a real thing. Passed away, on the other hand, is a very nebulous, very ambiguous term.
Why do we use this term passed away? What is the impulse behind it?
Well, I think there are a couple things, because we too have stopped thinking biblically about such things. Good catechesis helps us think theologically so that we might engage, interpret, and understand life and the world through the lens of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Son. So we're all doing theology, but without sound biblical catechesis, we may be doing the theology of an unbelieving, death and resurrection denying world. So we have slouched into this by not being well catechized. Additionally, I think there's the harsh reality of death with all of its ugliness, with all of its pain, with all of its finality. It succumbs to a minimalization so as to paint in soft colors the life and the memory of the dead. This is part of that sentimentalizing. So passed away, I think, is favored as a gentler euphemism, and it derives from the notion that it's comforting to think of the person as not having died and ceased to exist, and as Scripture says, after this, the judgment, but to have passed on or passed away to a better place. And usually the better place that they're thinking of is the place of the deceased's favorite activities, be it golfing or sitting on the beach or with some of the mementos of life. So in the end, passed away turns out to be a concept, and this is what makes it so dangerous, a concept that we can domesticate and make our own. In other words, we wind up doing anthropology, not theology. Without the vocabulary and the teaching of God in Holy Scripture, the truth is all such language, like passed and passed away, only tends towards speculation. We don't have anything solid to stand on, like the truth of death and the greater truth of Christ's conquering death through the cross and resurrection.
We're talking about the term passed away as a euphemism for death. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest. When we return, how deeply has this euphemistic view of death penetrated into the language and thinking of the church?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our trek through St. Matthew with the Canaanite woman, healings and the feeding of the 4,000, demand for a sign, leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the confession of St. Peter. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
We like our crosses full and our tombs empty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. SimplyClassical.com.
Have you ever had to have that difficult conversation with friends and family when they come to your church and you have to say, I'm sorry, you're not a member, you can't commune here. We practice closed communion. It's a difficult conversation, and yet it's a very important conversation. Pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today to learn about how to have this conversation with your friends and loved ones in a way that confesses the truth about Jesus Christ. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the euphemism for death, passed away. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest missionary for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, serving as the Assistant Director of Theological Education at Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia. And he's author of a column titled Jesus Did Not Pass Away on Preaching, Death, and Dying. Dr. Bombaro, you spoke earlier in our conversation about this funeral that you had attended. How deeply has this euphemistic view of death penetrated into the language and the thinking of the church?
There's a sense in which it's always been there because of Gnosticism. Peter Berfein's wonderful book, Gnostic America, articulates how Gnosticism, this view that denies the body and elevates or extols the spirit, such that the conception of the world is very Platonic, where you have a material world that's kind of like glued or nailed to a spiritual or ethereal world, right? You know, like two boards stuck together. The physical world is lower and therefore of lower value. And Gnosticism says that the objective is to escape from that, to be released from it. This idea has always plagued the church. It comes from Plato. It was revived by Plotinus in the 3rd century under Neoplatonism. And it's always been subtly there behind the scenes. St. John addresses it in 1 John chapter 1, and again in 2 John, in the first instance with regards to the incarnation, and then in the second instance with respect to, I believe specifically, Holy Communion in verse 7. So Gnosticism has always plagued the church, and the church has always slouched toward Gnosticism, I believe, because of two temptations. One being the presumed ability to domesticate the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, conceived as a spirit. And here we have the conflation of the Son of God with the Spirit of God, or Christology and pneumatology. The two get mixed up together. So we think that we can domesticate Jesus if he's a spirit and doesn't have a physical body, the resurrected body of the God-man. And secondly, the ability to save ourselves according to human wisdom or knowledge. So it's a form of intellectual self-justification. These ideas have always been in the church, these Gnostic ideas, and they are entrenched particularly in the rejection of the sacraments. Again, these are physical things that the Lord makes use of, water, bread, wine, the physical body of Christ. And I believe that the rejection of the sacraments is really only an extension of the rejection of Christ as the ultimate divine sacrament, where he is the God-man, where in Jesus, heaven and earth overlap, time and eternity, grace and nature, spirit and matter, God working in and through the physical. So what we have is a rejection of that and a movement toward more nebulous terms like past and passed away, which are left to the individual's understanding rather than the gospel, which is very objective. We have a book of Holy Scripture. We have the sacraments that are given to us. We have Jesus Christ with a physical body that was birthed of the Virgin Mary, lived a real human life, was crucified to death, and was transformed through this process of resurrection. That can't be domesticated. We must conform ourselves to that objective reality. I would say that it's further come into the church because this Gnosticism has been popularized by a couple of different cults in the past, one being Eddie Baker. She had her own view of the rejection of the body and her own form of Gnosticism, and she began to use this terminology of passed away in the 19th century as a cure for human death, both spiritual and physical. So one wanted to pass away rather than succumb to death. So she isn't using the biblical terminology. Instead, she promoted a doctrine of radical reliance upon the divine mind. Hear how Gnostic that is? That can cure the body, right? So the body is bad and needs to be cured, that type of thing. And then this was advanced in the 20th century with the publication of Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. And here we have good old-fashioned Gnosticism again, with the rejection of the body, right? When the body ceases to work, then one passes away. Their theton is released from an enfleshed condition. The body and material is bad. I think that, coupled with the interest in Buddhism and comparative religion, such that was all the rage during the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, although it seems to have faded a little bit, has brought in non-Christian terminology and a leaning toward more ephemeral, less physical understandings of death. The terminology of pass and pass away really accommodate that. And so observations of death became altered inside the church as a result of the changes outside the church. So fading into distant memory now is like the Requiem Mass, the rite of Christian burial with the accompanied churchyards and interments. And in their place, we find things like the celebration of life, the cremation, and the recycling of the body through echo burials and green funerals and other such things. In other words, we're moving away from an acknowledgement that salvation consists of the resurrection of the body. It's not just the pronunciation of justification that we're vindicated and the saving of our spirit, but it's the salvation of the totality of our humanity, which includes our body, our physicality. So in the rejection of these things, even Christian funerals, which used to be the occasion for heralding law and gospel with a physical body present, have given away to, I think, what are iconoclastic impulses in the spirit of the times, postmodern spirit of times. And these things are now being said, passed and passed away, tied again in with political correctness because they don't offend. But to speak about someone who has suffered death, oh, that's now an offensive term because it brings us directly into biblical categories and what God has done to alter death.
How, in contrast, does Scripture describe death?
Well, Scripture is quite plain. Death means separation. It's a rending of the body and spirit, which together comprise the soul of a human being. This is the formula, or a bit more tritely, the recipe for making a human being. The physicality, the dust of the earth, the ground, as it were, material substance there, and the breath of life. These two together make the human soul. Death then becomes the ultimate dehumanizing event with the rending of the body and the soul. The resurrection is the ultimate rehumanizing event where body and spirit are brought together and the living soul persists because of God's will and because of his grace and the endurance of his spirit in the world to come. That's lost when we're talking about things like passed away. So the way this scripture talks about death is pretty plain and straightforward. Death is a penalty. It's a consequence of sin. And it actually dehumanizes humanity by rending the spirit from the body.
How does this sanitized, sentimentalized view of death diminish the gospel itself?
Well, it's because it took this horror, such that we all face the horror of death, for God to redeem humanity and rescue creation. What Gnosticism does, and this terminology of passed away caters to it, what Gnosticism does is it scrubs the cross clean of all blood and splinters and death. The blood atonement of Jesus of Nazareth, the true Son of God, true Son of Mary, is reduced to a thought experiment, such that just thinking on the idea of Jesus' blood somehow redeems when there is no actual contact with the saving Christ, like in the waters of holy baptism and the sacraments of the altar, where we actually come into contact and ingest the blood of Christ that takes away the sin of the world. When death is sentimentalized, then it follows that the remedy to death is sentimentalize. Gnosticism accommodates such sentimentality, and the vocabulary of passed away facilitates it. This is the wedge between our death and Christ's death. We've lost the vocabulary of death that actually connect the two together, such that we heard in Romans 6 that St. Paul uses. And this is why I say that Jesus did not expire on Golgotha, that he didn't conquer, passed away. We don't even know what that really means, because it could mean anything in a postmodern age. And in fact, there are other writers that mean something very specifically, not death. So Jesus didn't conquer, passed away. He died on the cross to defeat death and to usher in life. And this is what we actually confess in the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian creeds. In the Apostles' Creed, we say that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered on Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. It's wonderful. And then even at the end, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. There's no language in here about past and passed away. And the reason for that is because the word death and died have very specific biblical and theological meaning.
Why is it imperative that preachers avoid unscriptural euphemisms for death?
Because Christian pastors are called to be truth speakers and proclaimers of the full counsel of God. Death and Christ's victory over death is the vocabulary of Scripture, the creeds, and our confessions. So it's a matter of integrity and honesty, but also preserving the meaning and significance such that comes with the vocabulary of death, died, and dead. Preaching death as death and the dead as dead maintains the universality of the consequences of sin and allows little wiggle room for domestication. We can't make death our own. We can't subjectivize it by turning it into passed away and it becomes whatever we would like it to be. The wages of sin is death. And what results in passed away, we really don't know, because it's not addressed in Christianity. Passed away isn't really a problem necessitating a solution. Death, on the other hand, as it's presented in Scripture, and as we engage it in reality, it's a thief, it's a murderer, and it's a miserable tyrant that needs to be crushed by the dominion of the world's rightful king.
We're talking about the term passed away. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest, author of a column titled Jesus Did Not Pass Away on Preaching Death and Dying. This is from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. With courage and love, this strong man, Jesus, settled himself under the bar and lifted the burden. Silently, he bore the injustice with all his innocent strength. He walked beneath this load to his death. The book is called Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, how has this euphemistic treatment of death come into the death and burial rites of the church?
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest. He's author of a column titled Jesus Did Not Pass Away on Preaching, Death, and Dying. We're talking about the term pass away as a euphemism for death. Dr. Bombaro, has this euphemistic treatment of death resulted in sanitized and sentimentalized death and burial rites in the church as well?
Yeah, it does, particularly with the employment of eulogies. Even during the funeral service itself, our liturgy, of course, doesn't allow for eulogizing during the divine service, and this because the divine service is where the Lord has his say. This is where he is speaking the truth to us. Our response to that is usually an affirmation by saying, Amen, it is so. We respond to God with his word in that way. Eulogizing, however, tends to focus on the individual and usually lauding their particular virtues and deeds and those sort of things. So the church has accommodated that in terms of burial rites. I think we see this also in the celebration of life. Notice that the onus now is on life and not death. We're not going to a funeral where there will be a dead body. Now we're typically going to a celebration of life in which we are memorializing someone. That is an important shift. So the change in nomenclature from death to passed away has, at least in terms of the subconscious, altered the reality. But scripture is very, very firm. Death is an enemy. So it doesn't matter what kind of polite terminology we may be using, it's still right there. And there's really nothing like having a body during a Christian funeral to drive that point home. If it can be an open casket, or at least just the presence of the body in the casket there within the sanctuary, and then again at graveside for people to be confronted with, not to sanitize you, which we can dress up in this way or that way, but confronted with the reality of death. One of the tips I was given by one of my seminary professors was that during the interment service, it really should be the pastor who's the last one to leave the gravesite. And what should be left in the images of the attendees as they look back is there's Christ's representatives, as if Christ himself standing at the graveside, attending faithfully and permanently until the time of the resurrection. These things are lost with notions of passed away.
You also say that passed away makes the dead person an active agent in his death. Why is that shift important to note?
Well, that's a grammatical consideration and an important one. So in addition to being a euphemism, like passed and passed away, they're also verbs or verbal phrases or phrasal verbs that's implying action on the part of the subject, right? So we'll say something like Tony passed away or Jane has passed or is passing. So the verbal association indicates that that individual is the active agent, that they're the doer. But the scripture clearly says that it's God who appoints the day of each person's death. We find this in Genesis 3:19, Job 7:1, Psalm 31, for example, Ecclesiastes 3:2, and it appears in the New Testament multiple times as well, perhaps most notably in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. So death itself is a judgment that God has levied on humanity for treason. So the remedy also must be from God. He must be the active agent in Christ to defeat death on Golgotha and to deliver us the victory through the resurrection. And this connection is made to the individuals who have died through holy baptism. So we note an important shift away from God being the active agent, even in the matters of death, to the individual somehow being active and releasing themselves, releasing their spirits to move into, well, parts unknown, certainly more favorable parts.
You said earlier, if you lose the vocabulary, you lose the meaning and you lose the significance. You say that this is just part of a bigger problem of a general departure from the vocabulary and language of Scripture. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Words mean things. And words carry a universe of understanding. When we start to lose these words, we're finding ourselves detached from the world in which we live and move and have our being, whether it be male and female sex, whether it be holy matrimony, as opposed to some contractual union or something that effect. Likewise with death and passed away. The meaning needs to be retained because it communicates the significance of what's taking place. So I think it's important that preachers preach death as death and the dead as dead because of the universal consequences of sin. That's what needs to be maintained. It's a part of a larger problem, because just as material things are undergoing iconoclasm within the church, like the crucifix or the altar, the pulpit, iconography, so too vocabulary is undergoing a sort of iconoclasm. That's to say, we've taken away the things that are speaking to us visually within the church, and that again reduces the meaning and the level of literacy such that we have when we walk into a church building. But when we take away the very words that are associated, that accommodate the art, the architecture, and the icons of the church, then we've lost almost all meaning whatsoever, which is part of the depreciation that we have of church spaces, why we have slipped into kind of a puritanical minimalism or a North American utilitarianism with respect to the spaces we occupy for the divine service. We've lost the literacy there. That literacy can only be retained along with its meaning and significance when we're using the actual biblical, creedal, and confessional terminology that tells us who God is, what he is doing, and what the significance and impact for us is. It's this terminology, this language, indeed the very word of God, that is the heritage we're to pass on from one generation to the next. And it's only in this way, when we can trade in a shared terminology with culture and bring them back to the deep and significant meanings of death, that they'll have an appreciation for the only Savior who can save them from the consequences of death. Because at this point, it doesn't seem to me that very many people are afraid of passed away or even think that they need to be saved from passing.
Someone might say at this point, Dr. Bambara, well, St. Paul seems to be using something of a metaphor or maybe a euphemism for death in Philippians chapter 1, where he talks about, I'm hard pressed between the two, my desires to depart and be with Christ, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Why does that not fall into the same category as the subject we've been discussing, passed away?
So depart, or we could even speak about what was used in the three-year lectionary for the epistle reading this past Sunday from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where St. Paul refers to sleep. When he's talking about sleep there, he's talking about the body and not the spirit, right? Because we know, as Jesus says, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. What sleeps is the body, which is why we say, may they rest in peace until the day of resurrection. Their spirit is with the Lord. They are comforted. So too, I think St. Paul speaking here is talking about a departure in terms of linear time, that he longs to depart from this world, to move from being occupied here temporally to being with the Lord eternally. So I'm not sure that he's talking about a passed away. And even so, he's talking about something very, very specific. He knows that it's Jesus who has conquered death by way of his crucifixion, which would make it possible for him to depart and to be with Christ. And who is Christ with? He's with the saints that have died, whose spirits have been redeemed and resurrected and are with Christ and abide waiting for the global invasion on the last day, when all the saints from heaven come and with Christ on the last day, and then there is the resurrection of the body.
Finally, why do all euphemisms for death fail to comfort as they are intended to do?
Because they fail in not using biblical terminology, and so they cannot sustain the transmission of the meaning and significance of the consequences of sin and the profundity and extent of salvation that's accomplished for us by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As in, salvation actually required the Son of God being crucified to death on the cross and then destroying death on the cross and being vindicated through the resurrection. Death has been overturned. Euphemisms just aren't going to own the harsh reality that is facing all of us, but also the deep, deep comfort we have in the Holy Gospel that proclaims Jesus not making passing away even a little more comfortable with a few more accoutrements for us, but actually exploding the result of death with life. So conflating biblical with non-biblical terminology fosters, I think, only confusion, or at least it hampers the immediate association between the salvific accomplishments of Christ and our family members or even ourselves when we come upon our death.
Dr. John Bombaro is missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving as the Assistant Director of Theological Education at Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia, and he's author of a column titled Jesus Did Not Pass Away on Preaching, Death, and Dying. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. John, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll visit with Dr. Daniel Pavela, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. And we'll continue our series on prayer, talking with Pastor David Peterson about prayers of thanksgiving and praise. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.